course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Last week we had snow. This week it's 70 degrees. I don't know what's going on, man, but I don't want any more snow. That's all I know.
Me neither. We had some snow here, but it is long gone, and I am so glad, and it's back to normal weather here, and
Yes.
nice and wet now because of all the meltdown. But that's okay. I don't care.
Yeah, we have a
So,
shit ton of leaves. It's weird, but we're not a weather podcast or a botany podcast for that matter.
yeah, well, you never know where this is gonna take you.
That's true.
And today, it'll definitely take us to a review of Round the Decay. This is an advanced spoiler-free review, as the movie is not yet out as of this recording, and actually as of the release. But we will get to all of that later on. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Well, watched a couple things. I'm still working through my watch through of Dexter. It's a really good show for anybody who's ever thought about watching Dexter, but they're like hesitant. It's extremely good. And not to mention, it's a hell of a watch. It's 8 seasons long. Each episode's about an hour, about 12 episodes per season. Actually, I think it's exactly 12 episodes per season, which I like. I like uniformity. And then in addition to that, they also have a show called like Dexter. Well, there's the Dexter Origins or whatever the hell it is, where it's like his origin story, and then they have Dexter New Beginnings or something like that, which is a show that came out like in 2018. Well, they have another show coming out. It's crazy. It is truly mind blowing how many shows they have, but. That's pretty much taking up all my time, except for when I'm at work, I watch The Boys,
Yeah.
which is not horror related, but I have to mention it because it is so freaking good. I just finished season three and I'm on season four, but yeah, it's a hell of a show. It is certainly something. I saw season three, and no spoilers, of course, people have never seen it, but the scene with the deep and the squid is certainly something.
Yeah, it trust me, each season has that. It has
Yeah.
something. Yeah, it is a great show, and for anybody that bitches about it, just read the comics, man, because it's pretty sincere, pretty close to the comics, and absolutely a fantastic cast, and
Yes.
only getting better because they have a, I believe they actually have confirmed it in season five in some way, shape, or form. Jared Padalecki will be in the in season five and some, so good
I had
shit.
heard that. I had heard that. I'm glad to hear they're doing a season five. So once I watch season four, I guess I gotta watch the other shows that they have about the boys.
Yeah, I haven't watched finished all the others. There's I can't remember what all there is. There's some Academy show or whatever. I don't remember what they all are.
Like
I
Gen
haven't
Five, I think.
yeah, Gen 5 or whatever. I haven't watched all those yet, but just the main show. But yeah, I think it's really great. And obviously it just the supernatural fingerprint all over it because
Oh, yeah.
Eric Kripke, the showrunner on both. And and then there was just all kinds of other stuff. But anyway, I do love The Boys, but I don't think I watched anything. Man, I'm just not bringing anything to this segment every week. Just things have been crazy, things have been busy. So I've had to kind of just have stuff on in the background. And that's usually just comfort stuff that I've already seen before that I don't have to pay a lot of attention to. So at least not that I can remember. I don't think anything new this week. So let's just move on to our first segment this week.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it is time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you a cheesy, low-budget, goofy, however you want to parlay it, movie for your entertainment. Now, that doesn't, hey, let's be real here. Cheesy, low-budget, whatever, that doesn't equate bad, because some of these are really good. Most of them are, at least, are fun. And this one this week is a fun one. It's been a while since I've watched it, but I have watched it a while. You know, it's been a couple years, so I don't remember a lot. But anyway, this week it is "Don't Go in the Woods," written by Garth Ellison, directed by James Bryan, starring Nick Cleland, Mary Gail Arts, James Hayden, and others. It had a very limited release on November 20th, 1981, and by very limited, I mean it was like just whatever one. I can't remember what town it was. One city in the suburb area. That's all I got. And right. It is described as four friends camping in the woods inadvertently stumble upon the domain of a maniacal killer. That's a very vague description. That could be described the description of so many horror movies, but it always seems to work in some way. Some fun facts about the movie. The nameless victims in the movie were crew members or friends. You find that in a lot of these low budget movies. The fake blood in the film, I'm always fascinated by the effects type stuff when I find fun facts about the effects and how they pulled it off. But the fake blood in this film is a mixture of red food coloring and barbecue sauce. So yummy. And the movie wasn't available until 2007 in the UK because, and here it was, here it is, the chance to get to say this again, because it was on the video nasty list. I just love saying video nasty, because it's just such a fun thing. I so think we need to make some form of a shirt using the term video nasty. So way to go, Brits, for giving me that term to say. I do love Britain, and just the phrase video nasty is just, I guess, another reason. Even though they're apparently were banning some movies that I would have wanted to watch. So the original title of this film was Sierra, because the story was supposed to be set in the Sierra Mountains. And this movie is available to watch for free on Tubi, as so many other movies are. So I highly recommend Tubi. Ike and I are both proponents of Tubi. Lots to watch on there. Movies, TV, all kinds of stuff. Yes, you have to sit through some ads, but hey, that's okay. For what you're getting, it's worth that. There's all kinds of good stuff. I'm a big animated guy. There's lots of great animation stuff on Tubi, so. So there you have it, our cheesy slasher this week. Don't go in the woods. Always some good advice. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. And it is time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where either you guys as listeners give us some feedback, or we pick up on something on social media that people are talking about, and Ike and I briefly discuss it. And it is the second in this case, again, with the upcoming release of the Alien Earth series on FX. So let's pause there. Have you seen anything about this Alien Earth series?
So weirdly enough, yes. I was watching the Bills and the...
Absolutely, that's me too.
...Chiefs game.
Me too, yeah.
And I saw the trailer for this, and I saw the trailer for the Sinners movie. But yes, I did. Sorry, long-winded, yes.
Yes, me too. And I had no idea of this until I saw that. I don't know. Apparently, somehow, I have missed out on this and didn't know anything about it. I guess it's set, whatever, two years, I think, prior to the first Alien film. It is about... whatever, a ship or something coming to Earth. And I know, first impression, you think, well, how does that work? How do we get the alien right before the alien? But Monica and I were discussing this, right? In Alien, they are in cryo-freeze to start off, right? They just come out of cryo-freeze. So if this is 2 years prior, they were already on their way when this happens.
Yeah.
So, but anyway... there is this Alien Earth series. It's coming out on FX. I'm not sure the exact date. Sometime, I believe, this year. But anyway, many fans on social media are wondering, is the Alien series running a risk of becoming oversaturated like so many other franchises? I mean, initially we had whatever, three movies or so of Alien, and then they, came out with some others and then some more, and now there's a series where, lots of people, I don't know where people draw the line of being what's considered oversaturated. It just seems when you put so much out so quick, sometimes you do run the risk of putting something out there that's not really maybe of the quality you would like. And I don't know if Alien is doing that. So far, everything I've seen recently, I've enjoyed. I think they're still putting out some quality stuff, and this series looks pretty good. But I do think, you do have to. I don't know. I'm of a split mind to this, right? You do have There is a fine line between being careful to not just put content out there just because, right? You have to have a good idea, a creative idea to put it out there, not just because, oh, we need something else, come up with something. But on the other hand, when there's something I enjoy, and I know a lot of people point to Star Wars for the oversaturation, right? You know what? I don't get that to me, because I tend to enjoy most of Star Wars. Do I ever think that most of it will hold a candle to the original trilogy? No, but I still enjoy it, and I'm thankful to have it. So oversaturation is a weird thing for me, and I don't, I do, I guess it's odd, because I do understand the concept and you have to be careful. But I am also of that guy that when I like something, man, I just want to see more. And it's rough, I guess, to cross that line for me. So Ike, what do you think? What's your opinion of oversaturation in a franchise?
To me, it's like this. Oftentimes, when people talk about something oversaturating a market or oversaturating this, it very rarely has anything due to the quality or the nature of the series. It's generally because people, I feel like, have this like ingrained belief that too much is a bad thing. And in some cases, I guess that could be the case. But specifically with Alien, I feel like after the last Alien movie, they've actually taken like a step back, and they're doing a little bit of introspection on how they've done prior movies, and I feel like they're actually trying to do better, right? So like, where the whole concept of oversaturation and making too many movies about a subject could be a valid criticism in some cases, in this case, I do think it's misplaced, because I think that, hey, they're actually trying to make original, thought out content. They're not just, making sequels. They're not just doing this. They're actually making a long form version of the Alien series, which has not been done yet. And I think that it needs to be done. Dave and I talked about a lot. Hey, we long form content, series formats. We need horror to sort of broach into this category and really rock and roll, because that's the next step. And then you can make more movies if you want to, but series are really popular right now. So I don't know. I feel like they're actually listening to fans. Fans have, I feel like I've heard them saying for years, I would rather have a series about Alien versus all these movies. I want more thought out content, this, that, and the other. So I don't know. I think it's a good move. As a general rule, I do think that oversaturation of certain genres and certain things is a very real problem. I do agree that, like with Star Wars, for instance, I think that you can make as much Star Wars content as you want. I'll probably watch it. Like, I like The Acolyte a lot, and like, everybody and their mother seems to hate The Acolyte. And I'm just like, I don't see how you could hate this series. It was legitimately made with love. It feels authentic, but I think people just want to hate on it because it's the whole like the wokeness and this, that, and the other bullshit that people like to pull out. But I'm not going to get into that right now. But the point, I guess, long story short, point here, I don't think that this is a symptom of oversaturation. I think this is a symptom of, hey, we are going to avert course. We're actually going to think about what we're doing. Because Alien Romulus was fucking money, all right? That was a beautiful movie. That was what we needed from an Alien movie. And I think Alien Earth will actually put some pieces into perspective of, maybe what happened before the Alien movies, and what happened during this time that we don't see. And so I think it's going to be good. but that's just one man's opinion.
Yeah, and again, I people always point to Star Wars. To me, a Star Wars is a big exception because it's such a vast universe that
It
you can
is.
there's so much you can do, right? There's so many, they've always picked out, minor characters and built and expanded upon them, and I always think that's cool, and I have no issues with that. So while a lot of people point to Star Wars as, oh, there's just too much story, yeah, come on. What and to me, a lot of people that cry out over saturation are people that let's be frank, right? I'm real, right? Is anything going to probably ever touch Alien and Aliens? No, probably not. Will anything in Star Wars probably ever touch the first trilogy? Probably not. But that's not a bad thing, right? That doesn't mean anything. Though, because those were so good, that's why you get more content, and that's where you set the bar high, and that's what enables you to have that power to create more content. But don't, I mean, don't compare it to that, because it's not going to happen. I mean, we've talked about this many times, right? With that, Aliens is just an outstanding, almost damn near perfect movie in my eyes. It's such a good movie. I love the first one, but the second one is just wow. Just whatever. And so, but everything that comes out, I'm not comparing it to that. I'm just, it's like, is it building upon that? Is it adding more to it? Is it, being respectful of that? That's all I care, right? As long as they're not completely laughing at that and they're being respectful, why not? I mean, I understand the concept of oversaturation. I think it's overused. I think it's sometimes used as a tool for those people that try to gatekeep. And it just boggles my mind. And I still hold true to the thing of, okay, if you don't like it, then just don't, you don't have to like everything in the franchise. If that's your deal, right? If you love the first couple of movies and you don't like everything else, that's fine. No one says you have to love everything. And I understand being passionate about something and wanting everything to hold up to whatever that picture in your mind. But you know what? Sometimes it's not. And it is what it is. Whatever. So, all right then. This is supposed to be a short discussion, so let's move on.
Seven screams of horror.
In this episode, we're doing 7 degrees of screams. This is very similar to the whatever it's called, 7 degrees, 6 degree, whatever it is, of Kevin Bacon, where we are given two actors or actresses, and we are given these by Kayla, and we are to connect them via movies and other actors and actresses. I always struggle with this, like, so correct me if I'm wrong, right? We get a point. There's a point for each level between the connections. Right. Okay, hold on here. I always remember it's 2 points per connection, but it's 1 point if you connect by horror, right? And when and whoever connected with the least amount of points wins, or is essentially.
Right. No, you are correct.
Okay, so you want to connect in the fewest connections possible, but you also want to try to keep it horror related if possible. Since we are a horror podcast. So, this episode, we were given Courtney Cox and Sophie Thatcher. So, Ike, do you have your connections?
I sure do.
Okay. And just to clarify, we always, so, Courtney Cox, Sophie Thatcher do not count in our connection. It's always what's in between the two. And I have them connected by one actor in between the two.
Okay.
What do you have?
I have the same. There's one actor in between the
Okay.
two.
I have a gut feeling we might be on the same page here. So my connection is Courtney Cox is in the newer Scream, which is whatever, Scream 5 or whatever it is, with Jack Quaid, who is in Companion, the upcoming movie, with Sophie Thatcher. So,
Yeah.
Ike, what is your connection?
So it was not, it's the same movie, but not the same actor. So I said Courtney Cox is in the new Scream movie with Jasmine Savoy Brown, and Jasmine Savoy Brown is in Yellow Jackets with Sophie Thatcher.
There you go. Okay. So there you go. Two ways to get about it. And we both did it with one connection. And since it's Companion and Yellow Jackets, both horror adjacent, at least at the very least, we are calling this a draw. We
Yes.
both nailed it. I know we don't really keep score on this. We don't really keep track of this, but it is what it is. This is a wash. So if anybody else can connect them in different ways, we would love to hear. I'm always curious. This is always a fun exercise. We will talk about the we've talked about the upcoming, what is it, season three, is it, of Yellow Jackets coming up, Mike?
Season three, later this month, I think, or February maybe.
We've talked about that in the recent, and we are going to mention the upcoming movie Companion here in just a bit in this episode. But for now, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and more. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. So, first little bit of news here. First of all, I know I got to mention, Dave, you said you watched the Bills and the Chiefs game. I got to say, I know we're not a sports podcast, but I just have to say it. I have to say it. I'm upset that the Bills lost. I think that there were some very bad calls in that game. That's my first little bit of news I need to spread.
Nah, see, I disagree. Don't
What?
be one of those. The Chiefs win because of the
Oh,
calls thing.
man.
It's
Well,
that's not true.
no, I think that there was a singular bad call that really, I think, to be fair, I think it was one singular bad call that really changed the momentum of the game, in my opinion. Now, whether or not they would have actually beaten the Chiefs is a whole matter of discussion, but there was one very, I think, poor call that I think would have should have been done otherwise, but that's just my opinion. Again,
Well,
we're not a sports podcast.
no, but if it is the call I'm thinking, but remember the rules do read that it has to, it is the burden to prove otherwise in the rules. So I think if the call based on the rules was, it was too close to call, I don't know, whatever. But
Are
I'm very happy.
you talking about the where they were trying to get the first down, or are you talking about the no,
Like
I was
the fourth and one.
oh no, I thought that that one was what it is. Like you said, that's really hard to prove or disprove. I thought the one, I think there was that catch where they both caught it, but I don't think either of them had control of the ball, so I think it should have been incomplete, my opinion. But
Oh, I disagree. But oh, that's okay. I'm happy the Chiefs are on, but I'm also very happy that the Eagles won. I like the Eagles. So,
see, it's weird because I'm just not getting into football. Like, I used to watch it, like when I was younger. I watched it with you guys, and we'd watch the Super Bowls and stuff. But like, I never really sat down and watched it. But did you know? Again, we're not a sports podcast, so I'll keep it short. But did you know that nowadays they have to tell the other team if they're going to try an onside kick?
There's things like that. There's lots of protocols in sports today, to both for self health and safety and also for time restraints and things. So it's
Gotcha.
weird, but yeah,
But like I said,
it
not
is
a
what it
sports
is.
podcast, but I'm getting back into football because I've been enjoying it. I'm just like, some of this stuff confuses me. So anywho.
It's hard to keep up on the rules within sports because they're always changing.
It's very true.
But for all the purists that complain about that, it's always been that way. The
It
rules have
has.
always changed and evolved, so whatever.
Back in my day, if you had a concussion, you just got
I just I get
thrown.
so I get tired of hearing that shit. Oh, they're ruining the integrity of the game. Really? Because they've always changed the rules. I mean, come on, it's always happened as things
Oh,
have grown and developed, and don't give me that. I don't buy that shit. Quit, just whatever. Go around. Get back to the news here. Here we go.
I had to bring it up. All right. Moving back on to horror-related news, our first little bit of interesting news, which, first of all, I read this and I had to do a double take. I was like, what? Patrick Wilson is producing The Lost Boys, a new musical, and it is coming to Broadway in spring 2026 at the Palace Theater. This is interesting. You know, if I remember correctly, The Lost Boys was a musical before, wasn't it? Or is that a different?
No, I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't know.
This is a brand new production, then.
It is. It is completely new development. And they have, stated, right, the music in this is going to, pay homage to the time and the feel of the music, so I'm assuming that means, kind of an 80s vibe, but, have some, whatever, everything's going to feel like it fits in the movie. So I'm very excited about this. Everybody knows I love The Lost Boys. I'm not a big musical person, but this is the kind of thing that would make me want to go to Broadway, go to New York and watch this thing, because this is super exciting. And it just sounds amazing.
Very good. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out. I do like the occasional musical. It really depends on the content of the musical.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But I'm not like one of those blanket as a whole. It's very selective. But right. This is definitely one that, I would be super excited about.
Right. Very cool. So we'll let you guys know anything else we hear about that. But spring 2026, it's coming. So moving on to Barbarian director Zach Krieger is attached to write and direct a new Resident Evil movie. Studios are currently bidding for the rights to this movie. I have some opinions about this. I am excited that Zach Krieger is attached to the project. But from what I'm hearing, this is basically going to be a start from scratch, ground roots process. It's not going to be related to the Welcome to Raccoon City film, which is what I have some opinions on. Me personally, I was really hoping, because Welcome to Raccoon City performed okay in theaters. Now, to be fair, it was during COVID. It was 2021. And the movie performed pretty well on streaming. So I kind of thought that, hey, it performed well on streaming, maybe they will go ahead and, they'll actually go for a second film. And that was kind of the thought process for a while. But here we are 4 years later, and obviously nothing's come of it. So, I kind of wish that they would have stuck with that, because I liked some of the castings. But, I do trust this new creator to take the source material and make his own version. It's just going to be whether or not it's going to be the same as what we had before. And this is not, of course, talking about any of the was it Wes Anderson films. So, nothing against him. It's just those are a little bit different than true source material movies. They're good, but they're not super, they're not super close to its roots, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of skin in this game, but it is weird, because it's like, I feel like Resident Evil just gets rebooted all the time. It just feels like, I don't know, they make some and then they start over and make something. I don't know, it's weird. But I mean, obviously he's a name, and all the talk of, the bidding or whatever, they're describing it as a bidding war, meaning that, all the studio, or several of the studios at least, are really wanting this. So that's a good thing. I mean, it's all optimistic about it, but it's, it would be nice for something, just to kind of stick and be able to spin out and not every so often, however many years or whatever, to be completely, let's just scrap and do something different or whatever. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. And I don't know. I can imagine being invested in the franchise. It's a mixed emotion thing, but there's still got to be a lot of excitement, tied to it. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, and honestly, I'll stop talking about it in a second, but honestly, for me, it's I don't know. It's hard to explain, because Dave knows this, and I'm not sure if I can truly express how much I love the Resident Evil franchise. There is not a Resident Evil game that I've not played. There is not a piece of Resident Evil material that I have not read, watched, viewed in some way, shape, or form. Like, you would be hard pressed to find a bigger fan of Resident Evil than me. And I mean that without any like braggadociousness. I just mean that this is something that like I am so enthralled by and so attached to that like I just I really enjoyed Welcome to Raccoon City. I was really excited for where they're going. So it's like, on the one hand, I'm really excited that, you know, a new creator is stepping up to say, hey, let me take a stab at this. Because, like you said, Resident Evil gets rebooted for all the time. You know, we had Mila Jovovich, who was doing, you know, Paul W.S. Anderson, who did the Resident Evil movies for, like, what, 15 years? And then you got this Welcome to Raccoon City movie is sort of a reboot. And so it's just like, I don't know. I have mixed emotions because, like you said, they keep rebooting it. So it's like eventually they're just going to say, you know, fuck, we're not going to touch it anymore, right? Yeah. It's getting to the point where I'm worried that Resident Evil is going to be like the next Friday the 13th where everyone's got their hand in the pot and nobody can make a movie anymore because everyone's fucking arguing about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my concern. But at the same time, you know, they'll still make video games, so it's not that deep, I suppose. But yeah, anywho, I'll stop yapping about it. But that's my mindset. But I am excited, like you said, it's in very, very, very capable hands. Zach Krieger is a very capable director. Barbarian is a beautiful movie, so I'm hopeful. Cautious optimism. There we go.
There you go. All right.
But anywho, moving on. There is going to be another Mickey Mouse horror movie. So we got Steamboat Willie, which is coming out later this year. We had, what was the other one called? Screamboat?
Screamboat's coming out. Then there's the, I don't even know, what was the one I can't remember. We reviewed one. I don't even remember.
Or is it Kill something?
I don't remember.
So we have the one that came out like right when everything happened, like right when it became public domain. Like somebody had the movie, like boom, it was Mousetrap, is what it was called.
Mousetrap, there you go.
So you had Mousetrap that was ready to go as soon as it was made public domain, and then you had Screamboat that is starring our friend. I have forgotten his name.
David Howard Thornton.
Mm-hmm. Whew, got scared for a second. But it has our friend David Howard Thornton in the movie, but we have another one. We have I Heart Willie, and it'll be in select theaters for one night only on February 26th. It is described as YouTubers investigate a legend about a boy born with deformities who inspired Disney's Steamboat Willie. Now, I have to admit, and somebody might crucify for me, might actually like string me up for saying these words, this premise is the most promising premise out of all three movies, in my opinion. It is not a direct take on a actual mouse creature or mask or whatever. This just seems more like a monster flick, kind of vaguely enshrouded by the Steamboat Willie concept. So this seems promising. So I'm actually really excited for this. Now, that's not to say I'm not excited for Screamboat, but this looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. When I first read this, I thought, oh my gosh, another, come on. And then when I saw the description or whatever, I thought that's different. That's a different take. And I like the different angle. At least they're not, it feels like they're not just making it for the sake of being able to make it. At least they have, you know, something different to try. So it does sound intriguing. So we'll have to see how they deliver, but they've got me hooked enough that at least that, hey, I'll give it a watch.
Right, exactly. Always going to give it a watch. Always give it the old college try. But very good. We're going to move on now to some Oscar nominations. We had a few movies in the horror realm that got some nominations. So always exciting to hear, of course. First things first, we have The Substance that received 5 nominations. Nosferatu received 4. And Alien Romulus received 1. I kind of anticipated that Nosferatu would get a nomination. I've yet to watch The Substance, but I'm going to very soon.
Yes, you need to. I'm telling you, it is so good. It is deserving.
The local library got the movie in, and we actually put a hold on it. So we're waiting for that to come to the local branch to pick it up. Which, you know, a little shout out. Make sure you guys use your libraries because they have new movies and shit. Like, we got Strange Darling from the library too, which is really good. But besides the point, I'm going to have to watch it because if it's getting a nomination, that means that it has to have something worthwhile in it. And I'm hoping that it's not another Nosferatu where it's like a snooty, like,
no.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean that in a mean way because Nosferatu was okay, but you Dave is saying no, it is not a snooty movie.
I have no, not at all. This movie's so fun. Demi Moore is incredible in the movie, and it's just the concept is it's a great movie. I heard all the hype about it before I watched it, and it exceeded the hype for me. It's such a good movie. I completely understand why it has got all these nominations. It is completely deserving. I'm Nosferatu, I don't know what the nominations are. I'm assuming there's some, right, you know, whatever the design and things like that are probably some of them. I think Alien Romulus, I think their one is like an effects thing, right? That's like the whatever the one they often throw to horror movies. But it's nice to see some, you know, something slip in there and get some nominations other than that. And I know Demi Moore is getting all kinds of praise, and she is, it's all so deserving. She's fantastic in this movie. And I'm telling you, it's, I'm 100% of the time, if you have to ask me which is the better film, The Substance or Nosferatu, The Substance. No doubt in my mind, every time I would watch it over. Not even, no hesitation.
Yeah. Well, I will have to. I'm very excited. You know, it's very, you know, Dave is, he gives his reviews from the heart. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this. I've read really good things about it. And like you said, I heard Demi Moore is very, very excellent. And I forget the other woman's name.
Yeah. I don't know her name either, but yeah, she's great too. But,
the younger Demi Moore character, yeah, in the film,
the alternate Demi Moore.
Oh, it's Margaret Qualley. That's what it is.
There you go. Whoever.
But that's a very interesting name, Qualley. But
bravo,
yes.
Margaret.
Right. Yes, very good. So I'll have to check that out. But yeah, cool. Well, we're going to move on from our Oscar nominations, but we'll probably follow back up on that because most likely, you know, whenever the Oscars happen, I don't know when they happen, we'll probably know if they won any awards. So we'll probably report on that as well.
I have good feelings about Demi Moore. I'm telling you.
He's got a feeling. All right. Very good. So then we're going to go ahead and move on to, after having some trouble initially getting released, the Toxic Avenger reboot will finally release later this year. The movie is unrated, and it stars Peter Dinklage, Elijah Wood, and Kevin Bacon. It is described as a horrible toxic accident transforms downtrodden janitor Winston Goose. It's a hell of a name. Into a new evolution of hero, the Toxic Avenger. Now, this is a remake, of course. We already mentioned that. It's a reboot. This has been stuck in developmental hell for probably well over a year and a half because we've been talking about this movie for a while. It'll pop up occasionally that it might be getting released. But we've been kind of waiting on this for a while, I feel like. So it's finally getting released, which is exciting.
Yeah, it was deemed too gory and too graphic to get released at one point. So, and then Cinescape has swooped in, got the rights, whatever else. Of course, Cinescape and all those have a hand with the Terrifier movies and whatever else. Big proponents of unrated horror, which this is definitely an unrated film. I'm super excited. The original Toxic Avenger is a fun, fun movie that I always loved watching. I'm excited to see a reboot and you know, a modern take on it. And then, you know, come on, Peter Dinklage, Elijah Wood, Kevin Bacon, come on. Those three alone in a movie, that's going to be fun. And so I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically named Toxic Avenger, I wonder if this is going to have any melt effects to it. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course it will.
This might make our list of favorite melt movies. We'll have to see. Very cool. All right. Now we're going to move on to some upcoming birthdays. February 3rd, 1970, the legend Warwick Davis, of course, known for his role as the Leprechaun in the movie The Leprechaun. Of course, he's also known for Willow, Return of the Jedi, and many, many, many other films. Warwick Davis, he's got a pretty good repertoire, I feel like. He's a little bit of all over the place, but, I mean, he does quite a bit of stuff, and it's really exciting, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he does. I mean, like I said, you know, played, you know, he was in Return of the Jedi, played in Ewok, was in Willow, which, you know, I loved Willow as a kid. But, you know, he's done a lot. You know, he's been in some other Star Wars movies, too. But he's just, you know, he pops up all over the place and all over the place. He's in all kinds of different movies. And, yeah, he's a great actor and fills those roles. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. But, I mean, come on. You know, he's in Leprechaun, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how many of them he was in, but he was in the first, which is the only one that really matters. So,
He was in a good number of them. I think he was in all of them except for the remake where it was Hornswoggle that played him, and then the newest movie, which was like a straight to streaming movie. It wasn't him. They tried to act like him, but they couldn't match mm-hmm. good old Warwick. He cannot be imitated, that's for sure.
No.
But all right, moving on to February 4th. So a day later and 30 years earlier, we have George Romero, the creator of Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and many, many more. Speaking of Resident Evil, there's a documentary out that I've yet to watch, but I hear it's actually really entertaining about George A. Romero's take on Resident Evil. He was originally set to make the movie prior to it, you know, going to Paul W.S. Anderson for his version. And, you know, that's one of my biggest what ifs. Like, what if he had made his movie? You know, I feel like that would have been really entertaining. But obviously, George A. Romero is a legend. He's done so, so much. And I mean, truly, I think that he has set the foundation. He was one of the most pivotal moments or pivotal people for not only the horror genre, but the zombie genre, especially, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty much more or less, I mean, the guy that, pretty much created zombies. I mean, he is, you know, I mean, I know there's been different things or whatever, but he's, for what we know as zombies, that's Romero. You know, that's all him. And everything else is just a take on his. So, and, you know, I don't know. He deserves all the props.
That's right. Awesome, awesome. So we're going to move on to some movie anniversaries. We have February 3rd, 2023, Knock at the Cabin. Knock at the Cabin was one of my favorite movies that came out of 2023. Dave Bautista did a honestly stellar job of acting in that movie. I mean, all of them did a fantastic job, but Dave Bautista really showed his chops in that movie. I don't care who you are. And it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, and it's also a book. It's not called Knock at the Cabin. Anywho, fantastic movie. I need to rewatch it. I've not rewatched it since it came out, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we have a review in the archives, and I'm pretty sure, just off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure I made our top five movies for whatever year that was, 24, I don't know.
I believe so. Yeah, I think it did. But, I remember what I was going to say. The book is called The Cabin at the End of the World, and it's by a guy named Paul Tremblay. And Paul Tremblay, he made a book called A Head Full of Ghosts that's actually getting a movie. It's like a possession-type book. So that's coming out in probably next year, I think. And he also has another book that I just got today from the library called Horror Movie. It's about a haunted VHS tape. So Paul Tremblay made all this possible. But anywho, Knock at the Cabin, superb movie. And we're going to move on to February 4th, 1983, Videodrome. And I have not seen Videodrome, so I cannot comment on Videodrome's amazingness. But Dave can.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. It's a little cheesy, whatever, but it's fun. I don't know if I'm amazing. I don't know. That might be a little strong, but it's a fun watch.
I remember we talked about it before, and it's on one of the streaming services, like either Shudder or Screambox, I'm pretty sure. But I know it has James Woods in it. I know we've talked about that. But I don't rem yeah, I don't know anything about it. So I'll have to check it out sometime. Like you said, it perhaps not the best movie, but it might be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. It's definitely a it is it's important to horror, so it's worth watching.
Gotcha. Very cool. And then our last anniversary this week is February 4th, 2000. We have Scream 3. Scream 3 is, it is often overlooked as a Scream movie, and I think in comparison to like all of the other movies, it's perhaps not as well enjoyed or liked. But I know that Dave and I have talked, it's a really good movie. It's just not the favorite of the franchise.
Yeah, which let's see, refresh my memory. Scream 3 is what? Is that the one with where they're making a
It's her
stab movie?
brother.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and he's the director of the newest Stab movie.
Yeah, I like it. It's fun. I think again, is it as good as the first? No, but it's fun, right? I think all the movies are fun for the most part. They all have their things, and quit comparing it that it has to, live up to the first. Just enjoy it for what it is.
No, absolutely. And that's what I would say is, you kind of have to watch all these movies as sort of their own thing. And then you just kind of say, yeah, it has a storyline that happens during it, but they're all their own movies. So you got to appreciate it for what it is. But very good. That is all of our anniversary. So we're coming up on some releases, starting out with Companion. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but Companion stars Sophie Thatcher and Jack Quaid, coming to theaters January 31st. It is described as a billionaire's death sets off a chain of events for Iris and her friends during a weekend trip to a lakeside estate, his lakeside estate. I saw some trailers for this early on and I had no clue what it was about. It looked good, but it was very weird. And then some of the newer trailers cleared it up a little bit. So I'm excited to watch this movie eventually. I'll probably wait for streaming on this one just because I'm not sure if I want to go out and like see it in theaters, but not to say that other people shouldn't. So make sure you get out and watch it this weekend.
Yeah, I mean it sounds fun. Yeah, I don't know. Sophie Thatcher, Jack Quaid, that's a good one too. But I don't know. I hope it's one of those kind of those sleeper movies that flies under the radar for me and I watch it, I'm like, oh man, that was better than I expected. But I don't know, it's kind of one of those that snuck up on you. It's like there hadn't been a lot of hype, and then all of a sudden it's like it's here. So it's peculiar, but I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to check it out when it comes out. And we also have Dark Match coming to Shudder on January 31st. Chris Jericho stars in this movie, which is described as a small-time wrestling company accepts a well-paying gig in a backwoods town, only to learn too late that the community is run by a mysterious cult leader with devious plans for their match. We'll be reviewing this movie in our next episode. Dave and I, outside of, horror movies and some of the other interests that you've heard from us, we also both love professional wrestling. That's both something that we enjoy, but not often do you get to see a collaboration between both professional wrestling and horror movies. Back for Blood gave us a small taste of it, but I'm excited to see a little bit more with Dark Match for sure.
Yeah, there is nothing about that description I don't like, and
Right.
I'm sure this movie's going to be a little goofy and cheesy, but everybody knows we've said this since day one. There's a shirt out there available. Hey, I like my horror with a little extra cheese. I like the cheesy movies. That's why we have the cheesy horror segment because I enjoy those. I with all respect, I'm not the world's hugest Chris Jericho fan, but I do appreciate his talents and what he does. I like that he's out there dabbling in these things. I like his bit parts in the Terrifier movies, and I like that he's doing this or whatever. And this just sounds fun. This is to me is it's one of those things that only you could only pull off in a horror movie. You know what? You put horror and wrestling together. I'm a happy dude. And I'm gonna have fun watching it. And I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much excited for this one. I think this is, we actually, weirdly enough, Dave and I, we were trying to figure out, hey, what do we want to review next week? And I was like, let me look at streaming. And we had talked about Dark Match a few weeks ago, but it was just in passing, maybe even like more than a month ago, but it was just in passing. I completely forgot about it. So I'm very, very happy that we are reviewing this and very happy that this popped back up on our radar.
Yeah, and I'm always, whenever I watch a movie with wrestling, I always love watching kind of the supporting actors and the bit actors to see if I can spot them as being actual like independent guys or whatever that wrestle, because most of them a lot of times are, right? They're independent wrestlers that get these gigs because they already know how to do it. So I'll be curious to see if any of those, anybody I know, is in one of those little bit roles in this. So I get it. This may not be for everybody, but I'm super excited.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right. Well, that is all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. You also got a little taste of our watching a football and my ramblings about Resident Evil and everything else. So
And
have fun
wrestling.
with that. And wrestling, of course, can be some wrestling. But now we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Round of the Decay. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. Okay, welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It is review time. We talked about wrestling, so I guess this would be the main event. What of it? Let's get ready to rumble. Whatever. And we are reviewing Round the Decay. It is written and directed by Adam Newman, starring Victoria Meir, Damien Maffei, Sienna Hubert Ross, Carrie Hyde, and others. The movie is described as a young woman returns to the site of her broken engagement, Newport's Valley, a sleepy tourist town with an all-consuming secret. This movie is not yet out. It is coming to theaters in a limited run on January 31st. And we will preface this by saying what we watched, the screener link we got, is not a final version of the film. And in the description, they said it is primarily there are some tweaks and edits coming to the audio. But as I watched it, I did notice some things that I think they'll probably will probably be smoothed over and tweaked in some of the cuts and things too. There are some things that I didn't hold against it. I didn't judge because I think, oh, they're probably there's probably still a little bit of editing to do there. Again, we've ran kind of long because we had a lot of news in this episode, so we won't go too long in this. Okay, so on as far as it goes. Overall, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was, I thought it was a pretty good premise, a pretty good delivery. I do feel that it drug a little early on. It was a little slow moving early. I wish they would have got a little more of the action a little quicker, maybe, just some, whether it just be, a little bit here and there, right? Just even if as you're building, it's important to me as a viewer that even as you're building it, you throw in some of that action, some of that creature, some of whatever it is to really get you pumped and get you excited. Because if you build it too slow, when you get to the point, no matter how good you deliver, it almost feels like you've waited so long, it's going to let you down because you've waited too long. So I feel like they should have maybe, I don't know whether, some of the cut, the editing, the however, the timelining, how they did it, I feel like that could have been tweaked a little bit. Again, maybe, possibly, right? That could still be modified. So I can't say that 100% that's a flaw of this, because they could still alter a little bit of that here and there. I don't know what they're going to edit. Again, they've said it's mostly audio, but that's not set in stone. I will say again, this is spoiler free, but I did very much, right, they are saying this is a creature feature. I like the creature. I thought it was a great design, a great execution. I thought it looked great. I thought it looked spooky. For the most part, you were pretty invested in the characters. I thought they did a good job of giving some backstory. I think, like, again, in some parts, maybe there was a little more than what we needed. The thing kind of centers around an engagement, and there's parts where I'm like, okay, I think there was parts where they were maybe repeating themselves with some of this engagement tale a little bit, that maybe they could have cut a little of that, because I think, like I said, I think there was instances where they just repeated the same thing, right, that they've already made clear. Overall, I think the acting was pretty good. The one guy, I think was his name Muffin? I think it was Muffin, right? He was hilarious, man. He was a great character. There's something about him that just I really liked him. And the guy that owned, I can't remember his name, but the guy that owned the hotel or the inn in it, I liked him as a character. It was one of those movies where you kind of knew where it was going. You knew what was, but that's okay. Again, you don't have, we've said this a million times, you don't have to put all these bells and whistles and try to swerve everybody. It's okay to be a little transparent where you're going. That's okay. Because to me, in this movie, the delivery was not what was happening as much as when we really got a good look at the creature. And when they got to that. And again, I thought that was okay. I thought the payoff was pretty good in that. The villains in the movie were subtle, but they really made you hate them. They were really assholes. And to me, sometimes those subtle assholes are really the best, because they're believable, right? It is what it is. So again, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but overall, I enjoyed the movie. I thought maybe they could have cut down and edited a little bit, made it a little shorter. I don't even remember, know what the runtime was on this, but I do feel that there were some parts that drug a little bit, and there was a little bit of repetitiveness with some of the story. I feel like, I don't know, I just felt like there was some flashback scenes that it felt like they were showing the same thing a couple times. I think maybe they could have cut a little bit of that, smoothed it out a little. Maybe it will in the final product, so we'll see. You could definitely see some of the audio things here and there. They did say one of the things they're keying on is the audio of the creature, but I thought the audio of the creature was pretty good for what we heard. So I mean, if they're going to amp that up, that's cool. You could definitely see though where some of the audio still needs to be finished. So that's not an issue to me, because again, they've already put that out there. Hey, we're still working on this. That's the subject. The nature of the beast nowadays. You're running right to the wire with these movies. For what it is, for kind of a small budget, independent type film, which is getting kind of a limited theatrical release. So, you know what? I thought they did pretty good. I thought they delivered pretty well, and overall, I enjoyed it. I think I want to see the final product to see how it compares to what we've seen. So overall, I enjoyed it. I like I said, I have a few qualms with it, but some of those I don't. I want to compare it to the final product to see if they're truly issues that I have, or if they're just some editing that still is yet to be made. So, Ike, I'll pass it off to you. Tell us your thoughts on Round the Decay.
Absolutely. And I will say that I had pretty similar reception to it. I would say the big thing for me that I was really kind of surprised by was the design of the monster. I felt like, given the fact that this is not necessarily the full final product, I thought everything was pretty well fleshed out, minus some of the audio stuff, like you said. It had some humorous parts, it had some of that B movie charm that you get, a little bit of that cheese. And I think, like you said, it was very well thought out in terms of like the villains. I thought that the villains here, you have I guess the primary antagonist, which is the monster. But then you have a secondary antagonist, which I'm not going to say who it is per se, but like you said, it's very easy to hate them. And then the acting was actually really decent. I mean, a lot of the characters, they really give you that investment that you need. And I really enjoyed, like you said, the innkeeper. I think his name is Bart in the movie. He was honestly my favorite part of the movie. He was super funny. Seemed like a really down to earth character. So it was very much a wow. I'm really sad that this is happening to this
Yeah, he was very
guy.
relatable.
He was absolutely, and there's also some a little bit of twists and turns with the movie too, which I kind of wasn't expecting. They mislead you a little bit about who the secondary antagonist is, and then there's a point where they're like they say something, and you're like, oh, okay, you're the bad guys, but yeah, absolutely. I very much enjoyed the movie. I thought that it was very well written. I thought the acting was very nice. Like you said, I thought that there was some parts that could have been trimmed down a little bit, maybe a little too much exposition. And there were a couple parts where I was a little confused about what was happening with the main character and their fiance, I think it was. I was a little like, I was like, is this like a good thing that's happening here, or is this a bad thing? Like, does she need help? Like, blink twice if you're in trouble kind of thing. But I think it tied everything up pretty nicely towards the end. And I think it makes sense what it was done. And I think that this movie it keeps itself open for maybe like a sequel or, maybe some exploration into the character Monroe, who, has some experience with the potential creature in this creature feature. And I gotta say, it was enjoyable. It was a fun little movie, despite some quirks here and there, it seemed pretty well polished. And like you said, some of the sound and whatnot is still being worked on. So I'll definitely have to check out the official release once it's, put out and on streaming to kind of see what differences there are.
Yeah, and one thing, I'll just make a couple quick points here. One thing that we've always said on the show, it is the job of the director, especially when you have budget restraints, right? To creatively hide those restraints, right? To not try to overstretch and show those flaws. And I feel that that Adam Neumann did a really great job with this film, because you have to, and I don't have the numbers, but you have to assume, right? They didn't have a big studio budget going into this, but they did a good job of not trying to do something they shouldn't have tried to do, and exposing themselves for being what I can only assume is a, in the grand scheme, kind of a low budget type movie. I'm not saying it's, was done on $500 in their garage, but I'm just saying, right, it's not a big studio release. And again, the character creature design I thought worked. I thought it looked great. And they knew that was kind of the centerpiece. And everything else, they didn't try to do these over the top of anything that would show they, we didn't have quite enough money to pull all of it off. I think they did a good job of balancing it the way they needed to balance it. And and then what you said in pertaining to the primary girl in the movie, when you start watching the movie, yeah, like that's kind of when it feels a little awkward or like it's dragging. It's like 'cause you don't know quite what's happening with her, right? And it does reveal that later, but I feel like there are a little bit of a period there where they prolong what's going on with her a little bit. Now that
Right.
there is a reveal there, it does give you a, an endpoint to that, but I feel like there's I feel like they established the issue and then they just like they kind of went a little longer than they had to with it. I think they could have trimmed it down a little. I don't know in the grand scheme whether that's that big a flaw. I don't know. I don't know that they went so much beyond that it's going to cause an issue or lose anything. I don't know. There was a point where it's like you felt like, oh, come on. And then it's like it did, right? It got started picking up then. So, it's just you felt like maybe they could have pulled it back a little. But, again, it's hard to judge without seeing the final product of what's going to happen. I don't know whether there won't be a little bit. You know, you just don't know, right? I hate to say, but I did like the movie. I thought it was a fun movie. I don't think this will slip in as one of our top movies of the year, but I definitely think it's a worthy watch. And I definitely think this is one of those movies in the past that we've talked about, have slipped in there as a good movie that people should be watching that, I don't know, maybe won't get the attention it should because you have a movie with like Companion out there with the meat, you know, the promotional machine behind it. When you put them side by side, again, I haven't watched Companion yet, but put them side by side is, you know, Round the Decay might be able to hold its own against it, but it just doesn't have the marketing machine behind it, you know? So, again, it was a fun movie. I'm glad we got the screener link. I'm glad we chose it to watch. We do get quite a few screener links, so sometimes it's hard to, we have to pass on a few because we just don't have enough time.
Right.
But this is one I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad we chose this because I did enjoy it. I did like watching it, and I am very curious to see the finished product and to see what it, you know, when they spit shine it a little bit, what happens, what it looks like, and how the audio, works. So, between whatever the cast and Adam Newman and everything else, I mean, well job, well done. I think you can really feel that they worked as a unit to give, you know, a pretty good movie here. And, that's what has to be done in these situations. I believe, right. Everybody's got to work together to enunciate the positives or whatever I'm trying to say, right. Highlight the positives, hide any flaws you might have and put together a good story. And I think they got a good story here. So, all right, then let's rate this thing. And besides the fact, Round the Decay is such a cool name. And I don't know. It just sounds great. And it is used in the movie. So I just like that name, Round the Decay. It just sounds good. Anyway, so let's rate this thing. I'll go first. It's a fun movie, good movie. I'm not going to say, you know, no offense to anybody, I'm not going to say this is, you know, broken any mold or done anything, genre changing, but you know, that's not a bad thing. But so, I think I'm just going to give it kind of that middle of the road, a 3 out of 5. And again, for perspective, anybody that is listening, or if, you know, anybody from the movie happens to be checking this out, for the sake of hearing what we do, a 3 out of 5 is a good thing for us because that means we really enjoyed the movie. We don't really have a lot of complaints per se about it. To exceed a 3, at least in my eyes, I feel like you kind of have to kind of, you know, either break a mold or really overachieve, with no offense intended. I don't feel like Round the Decay did that per se, but it is just it's a solid fun movie. So I definitely think it's a 3, right? I think it's got a lot of rewatch value. So Ike, what are you thinking?
No, I kind of have to just, you know, agree, you know, you kind of put it into the best words that for us, a 3 is perfectly middle of the road, and that's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? It's just, hey, this is what we generally like. This is what we generally enjoy. So it's not necessarily that, hey, we didn't like this per se. It's just that, you know, maybe this isn't the best movie on earth. It's just, hey, this is what it is. I 100%. 3 out of 5 is where I would give this to, because like you said, we don't have a whole lot of notes for the movie, but at the same time, it's not a movie that completely blew our minds. Mm-hmm. It was very enjoyable, but you know, hey, not every movie is going to be a masterpiece, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. I pretty much go into every movie with the mindset of, hey, this is going to be a 3 out of 5. And I let the movie sway me one way or the other, right? Is it going to disappoint me a little where it sways me under a 3? Or is it going to really be kind of breathtaking, give me something super original, change the genre, whatever it may be, to push me above a 3? If it doesn't really achieve those, I'm kind of sticking with a 3, right? You know, I that's just where I am. And again, that is in no way, any form of a negative to this movie. Trust me. lots of much bigger budget, bigger studio releases have not gotten threes with us. That, you know, that, that it is what it is. So, you know, and hey, we're giving this movie a 3 out of 5 without seeing the absolute 100% finished product. So that, that, exactly. You know, I think that's worth noting as well. So again, I highly recommend people see this. It's coming again to, I believe it's a limited theatrical run on January 31st. I don't think it's like a full scale. I could be wrong. I kind of hope I'm wrong. But anyway, if you're able to see this movie in theaters beginning on January 31st, I highly advise you go give it a watch. And if you're not able, I'm sure it's going to pop up somewhere on a streaming platform soon after. I have no doubts in my mind, of course, that it will. So wherever it hits, I highly recommend people get it on video demand if it hits video demand. I think this is a worthy purchase or a rental. So at your first available juncture, I advise people give it a watch because I did enjoy it. Hats off, Adam Newman and crew and cast. Well done. And you know what? I may, you know, I may even see if I can reach out and make some contact with Adam and see if we can't. We haven't done an interview in a while. And
yeah.
I think it's time we get a few more. Maybe Adam, this movie feels like the kind of movie we would interview someone from. So we'll see what we can do about that. No promises, but well done. I enjoyed the movie. So bravo. Like we said earlier, next episode, we are reviewing Dark Match, the wrestling horror comedy starring Chris Jericho. Again, nothing about that phrase. Just, I don't like it. Just that's, it's like you just crawled in my head and made a movie there. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll see what we think of that next episode. But before we get there, thank you to our wives for all their support and everything else. We do need to get them back on pretty soon for a wives rebuttal. I don't know what that would be. We'll figure something out. We'll get them on the show because we know people enjoy hearing them and hearing our interaction. So we'll get them on the show soon enough. Also, a thank you to all of our listeners and followers for all your support. So make sure you please continue to do that. Share the episode, share our posts. Follow us on all the social media outlets there are out there and give us some feedback, give us some insight so that we can continue to grow and that we have some fuel for future episodes or installments, excuse me, of Talk to Us Internet. Be sure to subscribe to us. Like I said, on social media, we're on all the platforms. Just look for Listen to Screams, Listen the number 2 and Scream. So before we get out of here for this episode, Ike, anything else you want to throw in there?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, hey, stay safe out there, guys. I mean, this world is crazy without getting too deep into it. I mean, just crazy shit's happening, man. Crazy shit's happening. Once in a lifetime things. So just stay safe out there, guys. Be smart. Follow your gut and, you know, just keep your wits about you because things are getting weird. But as always, continue spore horror.
That's an understatement. And again, you know, we're not political. I'm not going to get political here because I don't feel this is a political thing, but I'm going to say, guys, no matter where you fall, guys, fucking just be nice to each other. You know, I don't give a shit about everything else. Just be nice to each other. Be nice to your fellow man. Quit fucking being so judgmental. Just take a breath, right? Just take a breath and just be kind. It does not, it's not hard to be kind. So it ain't about political divide. It ain't about anything else to be kind. So that's it. That's as political as I'm going to allow us to get on here. Trust sure. me, I could really go, we could go to town on that one, on politics. We could really. Oh, we could really do a number, but we're not. So just be nice, guys. So, all right. Until next episode, when, like we said, we're reviewing the movie Dark Match. Wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.